This is our 20th. Man, can you believe that? Right now? This is our 20th lesson. Amazing, isn't it? We've been doing this for a little while, 20 weeks now. We're in chapter 10, and last week we finished off in verse 9, looking at how our Lord had changed the heart. He did not give a new heart to Saul. He had given him a different heart, one that was, just like the heart of Pharaoh. Pharaoh was at one time very pleased with Joseph and Israel and invited them in to live in Egypt. And then over time went by, other pharaohs went by. Eventually another pharaoh came in with a different heart. And that's what we're talking about in that. So as we continue on, noticing all the detail that our Lord gives us in how he is raising this man up to be voted in, as you might say, in Israel as their king. Israel had rejected their king, the one who had delivered them from Egypt, the one who spread the Red Sea wide open for them, let them walk through on dry ground, the very king who gave them the rock of water, the clouds, the fire, the temple, the details of the temple. This is the same God, the same one who works everything out, the sovereign one that Mike just spoke of in his poem, before his poem. In verse 10 we read, "And when they came thither to the hill," speaking of Saul, "behold, a company of prophets." Remember, Samuel had prophesied that this would happen. This is to prove that Samuel was a man of God. Things, when God gives in the old days a prophet something, and the prophet said it would be, if it was God, it would come to be. There was no question. There wasn't any doubt. And in order to erase that doubt, we see right here these things coming to pass. "And the company of prophets met him," Saul, "and the Spirit of God came upon him, and he prophesied among them. And it came to pass, when all that knew him before time saw that, behold, he prophesied among the prophets, then the people said one to another, 'What is this that is come unto the son of Kish?'" What happened to this guy? We know him. He's the one that was sent off to go look for the animals, remember? He wasn't of great stature of anything. He was just a simple farmer, simple rancher, sent out. "Is Saul also among the prophets now?" Notice the Lord stirring up the people to see something that has never been seen in this man before. Our Lord and Savior is not only preparing Saul to be the king, he is preparing the people to receive him as their king. He's preparing the sons of Esau, right along with the people of Israel, the sons of God, the sons of Jacob. Wheat and tares side by side. Remember, this was their first king as the world had. The people did not look upon Saul as anything special. He was of no rank in their minds. So the Lord caused a stir so as to bring attention to this man who would become their ruler. Continuing on in verse 12, And one of the same place answered and said, "But who is their father?" Therefore it became a proverb, "Is Saul also among the prophets?" And when he had made an end of prophesying, he came to the high place. You'll recall this was all foretold by Samuel. He told Saul this very thing. This is what's going to happen to you. And we see it's all happening. Saul's like going, "Whoa, this guy is actually talking the truth back there. Maybe I will be a king. Maybe I can be the king." "And when he had made an end of prophesying, he came to a high place, and Saul's uncle said unto him, to his servant, 'Whither went ye?' And he said, 'To seek the asses.' And when we saw that they were nowhere, we came to Samuel. And Saul's uncle said, 'Tell me, he said, "Aha, what did the man of God say to you? Tell me, I pray thee, what Samuel said unto you." And Saul said unto his uncle, "He told us plainly that the asses were found. But the matter of the kingdom whereof Samuel spake, he told him not." And Samuel called the people together unto the Lord to Mizpah, and said unto the children of Israel, "Thus saith the Lord God of Israel, I brought up Israel out of Egypt, and delivered you out of the hand of the Egyptians and out of the hand of all the kingdoms and of them that oppressed you. Notice Samuel is once again reminding the people, here's the king that you're rejecting. Here's the one who has delivered you up, and you're asking his king to give you a different king. This one who has done everything for you, and now you want something else. It's not good enough. Does that ring a bell of a time when they were maybe out in the desert, in the wilderness? Oh, Lord, would you bring us out here for? We're going to die of starvation. Okay, I'll give you a bunch of pheasant. Or what were the birds again? Quail. Thank you. Not much of a bird man. But okay, I'll give you quail. Oh, Lord, what did you bring us out here for? We have no bread. I'll give you manna from heaven. All of this, a picture of him who came down from heaven for our very needs. The exact picture of what we need. We need the bread of heaven. We need our Lord Jesus Christ, because there is no bread of this world that can satisfy the Spirit's hunger. And said unto the children of Israel, thus saith the Lord God of Israel, I brought you up out of Israel. I brought up Israel out of Egypt and delivered you out of the hand of the Egyptians and out of the hand of all the kingdoms and of them that oppressed you. And ye have this day rejected your God, who himself saved you out of all your adversities and your tribulations. And you have said unto him, nay, but set over us a king. Now therefore, present yourselves before the Lord by your tribes and by your thousands. And when Samuel had caused all the tribes of Israel to come near, the tribe of Benjamin was taken. And when he had caused the tribe of Benjamin to come near by their families, the family of Matri was taken. And Saul, the son of Kish, was taken. And when they sought him, he could not be found. Therefore they inquired of the Lord further, if the man should yet come thither. And the Lord answered, behold, he hath hid himself among the stuff. And they ran and fetched him thence. And when he stood among the people, he was higher than any of the people from his shoulders upward. And Samuel said to all the people, see ye him who the Lord hath chosen? That there is none like him among all the people. And all the people shouted and said, God save the king. I couldn't help reading that, thinking of the Britons. God save the king, or God save the queen. I wonder if that's where it came from scripture. Then Samuel told the people, continuing in verse 25, the manner of the kingdom, and wrote it in a book, and laid it up before the Lord. And Samuel went, sent all the people away, every man to his house. And Saul also went to home to Gibeah. And there went with him the band of men whose hearts God had touched. But the children of Belial said, how shall this man save us? And they despised him and brought him no presents, but he held his peace. So a king of the flesh you desire, a king of the flesh ye shall have, is what the Lord said. The problem is that the flesh is condemned. All flesh is as grass and withereth away, folks. Folks, this world is cursed. Sin has corrupted all that we can see and all that we can't see. Everything will be destroyed in the end. All shall be burned up in the second coming of the Lord. Everything. There is only one way to be renewed, and that is through the Lord Jesus Christ. We have no righteousness of our own. Sin has corrupted us from the top of our head to the tips of our toes. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. What must we do? How often do we read that in scriptures where the people scream and holler out? What must we do? What can save us from the things to come? Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. That's what it says. That's the word of God. Is that right? Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. Believe according to the scriptures. Oh, how often The world around us takes the scriptures and twists it to their own destruction. Oh, how easy it would be for us to do that very same thing. How quickly one can take a verse and take it off that way, wherever, now it's your decision. Or take a verse off this way, and now it's your decision to make to be baptized. Or take it off in that direction, it's your decision to walk down the aisle. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. When Christ declares, I and my Father are one, do you believe? That's according to the scriptures. I and my Father are one. In the beginning, they created man, and they made man in their own image. When Christ declares that all power in heaven and earth are his to do as it pleases him, do you believe? When Christ declares that he shed his perfect redeeming blood for a particular people, the sons of Jacob, do you believe? When Christ declares, I will have mercy on whom I will have mercy. You can't miss that interpretation. You can't take that and interpret somewhere else. You have to ignore that to go anywhere else. I will have mercy on whom I will have mercy, the Lord says. Do you believe? Or do you want to believe something else? When Christ declares that all the thought that the Father giveth me shall come to me, no ifs, no, well, what, maybe, all that the Father giveth me shall come to me. That's our Lord's word. There's no way you can interpret that differently. It's perfectly clear. It's simple. And it means exactly what he says. The question is, do you believe? When Christ declares that he is seated on his throne right now, after going into the grave with the sins of everyone that his Father gave him and leaving those sins behind, buried, your sins, my sins, buried, never to be remembered again, forgotten as far as the east is from the west, is what the scripture says. He is on his throne right now, King of all kings, working everything out according to his own counsel. Do you believe? When Christ declares that faith, belief, is a gift from him. It's a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Do you believe? If so, then you can believe these words most assuredly. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Or how about these words? Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, distress, persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or the sword? As it is written, for thy sake, for his sake, we are killed all the day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. No. In all these things, we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us, to be able to separate me from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus, my Lord. Oh, what a peace we have if we are in Christ. Amen. Would you stand with me and let's close?